my privilege to introduce our first preacher of the night. He's a student from Arlington Baptist College. You have it in your program. His name is Lloyd McCarroll Jr. I just met Brother McCarroll this evening. The thing that struck me about him is he said he didn't start even considering preaching till age 47. And that's when hey, y'all, whenever the Lord tap you on the shoulder, that's the time to go and get started. And he has gone on over to Arlington Baptist College. He's getting some foundational understanding of the word so that God could use him in his service that much better. So I just want to say, y'all, welcome Brother McCarroll. He will be our first preacher of the night. And my only instructions to you, brother, is come on up here and preach the word. God bless you, preacher.
I was under the impression that I was going to be preaching to preachers. I know not all of you are preachers, but we're all ministers of the gospel. So as this message comes across, where you hear that word, remember that you too are to carry the message of Christ to others. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles, if you would. Take your Bible, the precious Word of God, open it up to Psalm 37, because that's where we're going to be tonight. I did not come here to impress you with my theological prowess, and I didn't come here to bowl you over with my homiletical skills. My goal tonight, above all, is to glorify God and encourage you to stay the course. You see, I believe there are two main purposes for the preacher. First and foremost, we must preach the gospel to the lost. And second, with all of our hearts, we need to encourage the saved to live lives that honor God. The Apostle Paul said this, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You, my brethren, you have been chosen and you have been sent." Now, I know that, know this. Let me get this across to you too. I'm going to use some ugly words here. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, drunkards, and abusive people and robbers are not our enemies. They are as we once were. They are lost. They need Christ. And you've been chosen to bring that message of peace to them. The message of glad tidings. The message of good things, which is the salvation that comes through Christ Jesus. And I know that some of you are new at this. And some of you are shaking in your boots. I know I am. Some of you have been around a long time and you're probably growing a little tired. Some of you have studied really hard to get where you're at today. And you're a bit overconfident. Some of you may have no clue as to why God would bother choosing you to carry His message. And I know this because like sometimes I'm like some of you. But remember this, God is still in control. You may think that you chose this profession. You didn't. He chose you. Nevertheless, being a preacher of God's Word means that sometimes you're going to be what I like to call up against it. So I want to encourage you. Remember what Moses told Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, nor be dismayed." Now being dismayed reminds me of when I first started in the ministry some 8 to 10 years ago. I was preaching a Sunday school class and it wouldn't be long before I'd be up against it. I have a short illustration for you. I call this the two theologies war. I'm teaching Sunday school class and we're just reading the Word of God. I had a new family in the church that came from a very conservative background, far more conservative than the WBF. And then I had another man come to my class who wasn't even a member of the church, who came from a more, let's say, charismatic theological background. And as I'm teaching the Word to my Sunday school class, he always had to interject on his charismatic theological background, and he would bring up things. Well, the conservative man kept getting angry. because he said he knew it wasn't right. And finally, it got down to a question of sin one day, and he said, "Well, since I've been saved, I don't sin anymore." Boy, that popped the top right off of it. I looked at him like, "Wow, where did you get that?" Well, the conservative man slams his hands on the table in the classroom, turned real red around the ears. He says, "Not happy. You come in here every week in this bad theology, and you're trying to undermine the authority of the Sunday school teacher, and I'll not have it anymore." So I prayed us out. I said, "We're done here. We need to go to worship." Well, everybody else slunk out of the room. But the two, their hands were in the air. One of them was saying, "You're wrong." The other one saying, "Well, I'm an ordained minister of the gospel." "Not in this church, you're not." I said, "Gentlemen, let's put our hands in our pockets and let's go out to worship, because we didn't come to discuss theology. We came to worship God." Well, God got me through that one. And that's where I was up against it. That's when I knew this is going to be hard. Later, we had a couple in the church, had been there for years. They had served in the church. They had served the Vacation Bible School. They had faithfully given. And after I had given my class one Sunday, they looked up at me and said, "Brother Lloyd, we just want you to know that when you preachers start talking about how Jesus is God, we don't believe that. We don't believe Jesus is God. We believe He's the Son of God, but He's not God. And we also don't believe in the Trinity." "Okay. Well, we don't ever tell y'all that because we're afraid you're going to kick us out, because we've been kicked out of churches before." I said, "Well, I'm not going to kick you out, but can I share some Scripture with you?" And I showed them the Scripture where Jesus is God. I showed them. I said, "No, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the word Bible is not in the Bible either." I showed them the Scripture. It didn't take long. Several months later, they were gone. See, that's what I mean about being up against it. You give them the truth, and man, they're just going to twist it on you. So what we need to remember is, the same Bible that we preach to others, we need to preach to ourselves. When I need solace, I take my comfort in the Psalms. I told you to go to Psalm 37 because I believe King David lays out five things in the first 9 verses that we need to pay heed to as ministers of the gospel, as each and every one of you are. The word says this: "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." I told you there were five things that David had in here. I'm going to go over them as quickly as I possibly can. Verses 1 and 2. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Let me tell you something, and listen closely. Evil and iniquity is not in the realm of my control. It's not in your control. That's in God's control. We are not God's police. We are messengers of the gospel. The Bible clearly says that God made the wicked for the day of evil. Do you hear that? God is in control. Let's remember the Great Commission. This is what Jesus told us to do. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We make disciples and we teach them what Christ has taught us. We don't beat them over the head with the Word. We don't beat them over the head with the Bible. We don't condemn them. We don't judge them. We just teach them what Jesus has taught us. That is our job. Second thing he brings up in here is that we should trust in the Lord. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's my favorite one right there. He says, we trust in the Lord and do good. He will feed us. My pastor told me last week, he came and saw me preach at the college, and he was very proud of me. And he said, Brother Lloyd, I want you to know that the path you've chosen to be a preacher of the gospel, he said, I want you to know that it's not a lucrative position. You're not going to make much money as a preacher. He said, but know this, you will never go hungry. That ain't never lie. Bigger. In fact, tonight is absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. Here's some biblical examples of being fed. I'll just say this shortly. Let's not forget the prophet Elijah. When prophet Elijah was torn up, worn out, torn down, he was told to go rest by the river. What happened? The ravens fed him. I don't know if you've ever sat back and said, you know what, I think I'm going to let the ravens feed me today and see what happens. Let's remember what Jesus said about it. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Whether with all shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. God is our provider. Trusting in the Lord means relying on Him for every ounce of our provision. If we put our effort into doing what He's called us to do, He will, in fact, take care of us. Third thing, delight in the Lord. This is one of my favorite verses. I have it highlighted in my Bible. I suggest you do the same. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I know there's some theology out there that says if I believe in Jesus and love Jesus, He's going to give me a Mercedes-Benz. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not what this verse means. If you understand this verse, you know that it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, it's a circular thing, but it's perfect. If I love what God loves, that will be the desire of my heart. You see, that's the whole point. I should want what God wants for me. There's nothing better than what the Lord has to offer. He created the world. He created our lives. He provides all we need, and He gave us salvation. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is what we delight in, is everlasting life. Fourth point, commit to the Lord. Commit to the Lord. He says, commit thy way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Our commitment should be total and complete. Why? Why is that? Think about it for just a moment. When Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler and he said, what should I do? He said, sell everything you have, give your money to the poor and follow me. He didn't tell him to become a communist. He was testing him. Peter said, Lord, we've given up everything. What do we get? We've been following you now for a long time. Well, remember what Jesus told him? He said, everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. You see, the pay may not be great now, but the retirement package is awesome. The fifth thing that he brings up in these verses is rest in the Lord. I know a lot of my pastor buddies are spread pretty thin. We were talking about that earlier. But God gives His beloved rest to us. See, God is so much in very control of what is going on. There's no reason for you to lose sleep over this stuff. No reason whatsoever for you to lose sleep. Let me tell you what the psalmist said. One of my favorite psalms, 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. The Lord provides the materials. The Lord watches over the work. You need to take rest when you can so you can continue in the work. The Lord gives you rest and you must take it. No matter what you come up against in your ministry, God is fully aware of what you need and when you need it. It's not your job to fret. Trust in Him. He knows what you need before you even ask. Delight in Him and delight what He wants for you, for His gifts are greater than anything you can possibly dream of or imagine. Be totally committed to Him. He created you, He called you, and He will take you into perfect, everlasting life in paradise. God gave the gift of rest. And because when you are up against it, you're going to need it. Finally, let's look at the last four verses of that passage. Verse 37 through 40. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed altogether. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Following God completely and totally means having peace in your life. The wicked do not have a snowball's chance in hell. God is in control. Our salvation comes from God. When we have trouble, He is our strength. We shall be delivered because we trust in Him. Here's the job. Here's the deal. We must proclaim God's glory, God's power, God's creation, God's mercy, God's greatness, and most of all, God's salvation through Jesus Christ. The bottom line is this: you preach the Word of God and He'll take care of the rest. All glory be to God and God alone. Amen and amen.